All right, God is good. Let's turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 11. I would say there have been very few sermons on this in the last 2,000 years, other than if somebody was preaching on Genesis, they might say something. But God, in the beginning, Genesis like genes, the seed. In the beginning, everything is laid out. The whole oak tree is in the acorn. So Genesis has the whole Bible. And everything in Genesis is not yet fulfilled. So as it began, you learn everything about the ending by the beginning. How a thing begins is how it ends. I'm going to say that again. Everything is determined by your beginning. Let's say you were born in sin. That determines your end. Let's say you were born again. That determines your end. So there's no possibility for you to change your nature. Your basic nature is not fixed by you. You came into the world with it already determined. So you can do nothing about it. Nothing. All you can do is sit in chair one or two and try to modify it. But nevertheless, the one that created you has the right to say another word if he wants to. For example, if he wants to create the world and then recreate it, that's his business. He can do that if he wants. You may not be free, and you're not. Because once a thing begins, that's it. It has to end. So the only way you can get out of this world is death. That's the only way you can get out of this world. And the only way you can get into the new world is new birth. So you need to have a new life, completely, totally, 100% new life. Chair one and two won't do it. That's why chair three is repent. Change your mind. Because you're no longer the old person you used to be. You are now a new creation. But some of you haven't told yourself that yet. I'll say that again. Some of you claim to be new creations, but you're still living like you're still in the old creation. You're still sinning. Is there anybody here that is still sinning? Oh, my gosh. It's about the whole group, except for Andrew.
I'm just lazy.
Amen. Well, I thought you were a liar, but, you know, now it's clear. All right. So, Don't be smarter than God. If God wanted to do it this way, who are you to figure it out or complain about it or try to correct him or try to figure, you know, the wisdom of God? I mean, no, the wisdom of God is greater than the wisdom of man. Yes. You're not going to figure him out. But I'll tell you this, you can't outdo what he did. His way is perfect. So if he wants to start everybody out in the sinner chair, in the wicked chair, I like wicked better than sinner because chair one and two are both sinner. But wicked makes it really obvious that you're an open sinner. Now, number two is hiding it. In other words, number one is eating the apple, but number two is sowing the fig leaves. Number one is doing what you weren't supposed to do, being naughty. Has anybody here ever experienced that in your own personal experience? That you're selfish? That you're wicked, that you don't care for other people, you don't love God, you read His Word, and you're cold, you don't worship Him with all your heart and soul and strength and mind and might. In other words, you're a failure. Is anybody here familiar with that little pattern? Okay. Now, but what you can do is hide it so that you don't look like what you really are. You can be a hypocrite. So chair number two is hypocrite. And most Christians practice hypocrisy. And I'm going to show you today where it all came from. But hypocrisy is where I'm actually evil, pretending like I'm trying to be good, when I'm actually evil, and that's what I actually am. Isn't that funny? And a lot of times, I don't know if this has happened to anybody here, but a woman will marry a man that is actually evil. I don't know if this has ever happened to anybody here. It's just an evil man. And she will then complain later, even though she chose the guy. I married an evil man, and he deceived me. I think that's funny. Don't you think that's funny? What did you expect? Out of all the men in the world, they all come from chair one. Women now are more comfortable in chair two. Women are, they amuse themselves with the thought, well, I'm not as bad as he is. That's amusing. You don't see the humor of that. You fail to see the humor of that. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, not men only, but women also. Did you know women can be catty? Vicious. Barbaric. Mean. Vengeful. Did you know that women can do that? No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Methodists and stuff like that. So we know that man can not only be wicked, but he can know how to hide that wickedness so even God can't see it. You know, first of all, other people can't see it. And by the way, the only hypocrites you can, the only way you can be a hypocrite is to fool other hypocrites. Because real sinners will see right through you. And real saints will see right through you. But fortunately, church has a bunch of hypocrites in it. Not ours, but the Methodists. Presbyterians. And so we actually like to get along with people that, you know, will play the same game we're playing. It's kind of like those mask balls in the 17th century and the 18th century. They used to wear masks and then do all their naughty stuff because they had a mask on and you couldn't tell who it was. Often it was just a stick with this thing in front of them. Of course, you knew exactly who it was, but you had to pretend. And so people have a naughty side to them. I hope nobody here. Where you actually, when no one's looking, do things that are not right. You know, you have a bad temper. Does anybody have one of those? I mean, just every once in a while. Not all the time. But just every once in a while, it kind of comes out. And it's kind of like you're out of character in that moment. Your real character is nice. But every once in a while, nasty comes out. Has anybody got one of those? You know, and so... We try to amuse ourselves, to deceive ourselves, to trick ourselves into believing that we're actually decent because we behave, hypocrite. We behave decently. We're not wicked. We do a few wicked things, but we're actually basically good. And to prove it, looky here. I went to church. I was nice. I didn't say what I wanted to say. You see, I was a hypocrite. Now, a hypocrite is someone who doesn't express his flesh or her flesh, but suppresses it. You ever heard that word? Suppress, push it down. Or if you're really tricky and you're kind of like skitsy, what you do is you repress, where you actually go, not just, I hate you, but I'm, you know, just because I don't want to look like what I really am, I'm going to say, no, no, that was fine. But a represser goes like this. No, honest. Look, really, seriously, I'm not mad at what you did. I forgive you a long time ago. That's a liar. That is a double liar. You not only lied to the other person, you lied to yourself. But God can see right through that. Amen? So repentance is where we decide that these two chairs are evil. The first one is evil, evil, and the second one is evil with a vain covering. In other words, it's vanity. It is evil, like chair number one, because chair number two is actually chair number one with a mask on. So here I reject open wickedness. I think if I'm openly nice, occasionally at least, that makes me better than chair one. You just deceived yourself. Tricky, very tricky. You think as you behave outwardly, that actually is your nature? Jesus said, out of the heart cometh evil, adultery, murder, all kinds of foul things. Nothing decent or good. So, since there's nothing decent or good that cometh out of your heart, that means there's nothing good that cometh out of your life, even though it appeareth. It appeareth. Now, so, Jesus now wants to then cause us to repent, not just of one, but also of two. Two is the worst one. Two is the hard one. How do I make this go down? One of these things here?
No.
Yeah. Thank you. Because some people can't see how wicked they are. Further. Yeah, further. Because I don't know if Pam can see. I want her not to get away with anything. All right. More wicked people coming. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Front row. Yahoo. Woo. Hey, listen, you guys could sit right here. Wicked and hypocrite. Which one? Which one is wicked and which one is hypocrite?
They're the same.
They're the same. Ah. Oh, my gosh. Are you sure Tom isn't a hypocrite and you're the wicked one?
Oh, that's really the case. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there you have it. Now, don't take any of this seriously. This is just the truth. And it'll set you free to realize it, and it could explain everything in your life. Could explain why you're not happy all the time. Because you're wicked. And you're a hypocrite and a liar. And you're deceitful. The heart is what? Deceitful above all. Everybody's heart. And so when Jesus came into the world to prove it, we all killed him. Jesus was the nicest fellow. He actually wasn't wicked, and he wasn't a hypocrite, and so we killed the guy. Hey, Jesus, you know what? You're embarrassing us. You're bringing out my bad side. I mean, I hardly have a bad side, but you're bringing it out. Did you ever marry somebody that brought out your bad side? That's what marriage is all about. That's what marriage is all about. It's not two people that are nice to each other, like when they made the vows. And I will never leave you or forsake. That's why they have these words, better for worse, richer for poorer, sickness and in health. They have that there so you don't get out easily. Because you're liable to run the moment that the person you're with is not perfect. Imagine if you were married to Jesus, how happy you would be. Imagine if you were married to someone perfect, then you would be totally happy. You're a liar. You're not happy about anything, anytime, at all. And so we amuse ourselves with amusements. But the truth is, everybody's born in sin. Wicked or hypocrite, doesn't make any difference. They're the same. The thing that's interesting about hypocrite is the one I want to dwell on today. Now, hypocrite is started somewhere in Genesis. So I'm going to call it Mystery Babylon. Because this is the ultimate religious hypocrisy. Mystery Babylon. So I drew a little pyramid with the eye. That's a cool symbol. No? That's a cool symbol. And then I laid it out on the board up here also. You know, the gates of God, or the gate of God. Bab, this is Hebrew. The first letter is B, and then the little T under it is Ah, Ba. And the second one is B. And the little letter under that is eh. And it's also got a little dot there for the I and the IE. So it's Babali. Babali. Babali means gate, Bab, of God. Now, it also, Babel, means confusion. Where you mix things that should not be mixed. You're unequally yoked. You're putting two things together, clean and unclean. True and false. That which is good and that which is evil. And God forbids you to do that. He actually says, I want my clean to be clean and my unclean to be unclean. I don't want to mix them. Because if you just have even one bit of unclean in your life, you're out. Y'all know that? One sin will keep you out of heaven because everything's perfect in heaven. Imagine you came into heaven and you had one little imperfection on you. Why, the bridegroom would immediately recognize, hey, what's this spot on your dress, sweetheart? What spot? This one? I'll clean it up. No, you cannot clean it up. There's nothing you can do to clean it up. You're just chair one and two. So you cannot clean it up. So you can't have a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing. And Nimrod started this whole Mystery Babylon thing in Genesis 11. So let's read it. Let's read Genesis 11, verse 1 through 9. And the whole earth was of one language. Now, did you know that anthropologists don't even know this yet? That at one time, there was one language, one people group. Black, Hispanic, Chinese, everybody was all one. Later, it got divvied up. But at one time, everybody lived together. The whole earth had one language. Now, we make big differences. We make big distinctions. God doesn't. Did you know if the whole earth, as far as God is concerned, is one blood? One blood. To prove that, get a transfusion by an orangutan. In case you thought you were evolved from the monkeys. Cytochemistry will wake you up in no time. Because you will realize you're dead. Because you can't take a transfusion from a gibbon or a gorilla or a chimpanzee. Because your blood is closer to Chinese, African, etc. All the same. It's the same. That type of blood is incidental, though sometimes important. But one thing is, no matter what type the orangutan has, you don't want it. So mankind is all one blood. Did you know that we all came from Adam? Adam. We all came from Adam. And everybody that's on the earth today not only came from Adam, but came from Noah and his three boys and their three wives. So everybody today, with all of the genetic qualities you have, all of the chromosomal stuff, all the DNA, it all comes from the same family. One family, Noah and his three boys. Now, Nimrod, the man I want to talk about today, his father was named Cush. Cush in Hebrew means black. So Nimrod is a black man. And he is the first emperor of the world. Absolute first. And all the world had one language at that time. And Nimrod, who was the first emperor of everybody, Chinese people, they also are part of Nimrod's hegemony, his kingdom. And he ruled over everybody. And nobody was excluded. Maybe Noah. In the Babylonian letters, they call him Utnapishtim. But he's Noah. And you can read about it. It's just like our Noah story. It's only, because I don't want to go into the nonsense, it's only that the Bible doesn't borrow from Babylonian literature, but Babylonian literature happens to have the same history because we're all people. And so there was a flood, and the whole world was flooded out. And after the flood, Noah and his three boys and their three wives were told by God. Now, imagine if you were on that boat. He was told by God, okay, you guys, there's six of you that can bear. Mrs. Noah and Mr. Noah are too old right now. So they're gonna stay up and have grapes and get drunk. But the rest of you are going to have kids. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to spread out. Imagine. There's only six of you. And all these wild animals that got off the boat and everything, you know, out there. I mean, the world is full of all kinds of creatures. And you six, now don't go together. Just you and your wife and you and your wife and you. So there's three families of mankind today. Those that come out of Shem, second born child. Japheth, firstborn, and Ham. Now, Ham had Cush. Okay? So Noah had Ham, Ham had Cush, and Cush had Nimrod. Now remember, Cush means black or Ethiopian. So that means just where we just got back from, Lynn. We just got back from Uganda, where the Nile begins and it flows north and it flows south. So geopolitically and geophysically, it's strategic. That's why we're there. It's a strategic spot because all of the river basins south go into that part of Africa, which we call sub-Sahara Christian. Most of sub-Sahara is all Christian, whereas most of the Sahara North is all Muslim. And I believe that you're going to see a changing of that, where the Muslims are more and more pushed out by the Christians pushing up than by the Muslims pushing down and the Christians being pushed. The Christians are the ones that are vigorous and alive. They're not just superficial. And they're not following Nimrod. The Muslim religion is more like Nimrod's religion, a religion of works. It's part of the gate of God. It's part of the Tower of Babel. It's part of the confusion of tongues. In other words, people talking and confusing everything by putting church and state together. You cannot join church and state. The church is a bride. And therefore, the state should not sleep with God's bride. Do you all understand that? So God likes to keep his girl for himself. He's just funny that way. Jealous. He's funny that way, and I'm kind of like that too. I don't like Peggy to hold hands with somebody else. I don't like her to kiss somebody else. I don't like her to even talk too much to other guys. I like to keep her to myself. Do y'all see that? Do y'all see that? Do y'all understand that? That's my zeal or my jealousy or my fire. I get mad. And she would too. If she sees me talking to some woman over, 40 minutes or something, she's ticked. She'd go like this. Get off the phone. Peg, this is a spiritual... Get off that phone. Because she knows I'm talking to some, pathetic woman that, maybe fall in love with me or something. Y'all understand that? Women do that. The silly stuff. But so she's jealous of that. And that's the way it should be. The bride should be devoted totally to the husband and the husband totally to the wife. Even while they're betrothed. Even while they're going together. And that's a real violation of the relationship. In a relationship, we trust one another. Or we trust that God has put us together. Y'all understand that? So, we didn't maybe trust one another, but we at least love one another and trust that God has put us together. So, that makes a good marriage. And so, Nimrod came up with another idea rather than God's idea. Instead of building on Mount Zion, he made his own little mountain. Isn't that clever? Mount Zion, that was for, Shem's people. The Semitic races. They're still there today. They're still kind of congregated in that part of the world. But you remember Abraham, who lives after Nimrod. Abraham was told by God, get out from Ur. Get out from the Chaldees, the Kashtim. Kashtim is just Cush, his father. Come out from that civilization. This is the very first civilization in the world. Started up in Babylon, then it went to Egypt. So Nimrod is actually Narmer, the first pharaoh of Egypt that joined Upper Egypt with Lower Egypt. Narmer, N-A-R-M-E-R. But in the ancient language like Egypt or Akkadian or Babylonian, there are no vowels. So it just says NMR. Nimrod has NMR in it. Skip the vowels. NMR. And so does the Ugaritic. As a matter of fact, nobody knows where this name came from. The Egyptologists don't know where it came from, so it's not one of theirs. Nor do the Akkadians, nor do the Ugaritics, and so on. So all those ancient scholars have never figured out where that word comes from. But one thing they know, this was the first ruler of the entire world. And all the kings of the world today name themselves after him. I am the king of the four corners of the world. I love that. Iran. Ahmadinejad or whatever his name is. He names himself that way. I am the Persian high muckety muck. So that's a big deal. And they don't throw that stuff away. People still go for all that nonsense. Now, The reason for that is because it's true. They all came from Nimrod. So Nimrod set up this little mountain. He built this mountain, this little pyramid or ziggurat. We call it the Tower of Babel because Babel also means confusion, because he mixed, confounded, and confused all language. And he mixed, confounded, and confused church and state. And today, biggest problem in the world today is the confounding, mixing, and confusing of terms and of institutions. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. But what God has put asunder, separated, let no man join. He will not have his clean bride sleeping with, bowing to, serving, or rendering unto Caesar that which belongs to God. So now, you don't know this, I'm just telling it to you. Now I'm right. That's one good thing about listening to Pastor Jim, is he's going to be right. Isn't that exciting? You don't seem that excited. You know, there isn't a lot of truth out there. There isn't a lot of truth. What is truth? It isn't just saying something true. It means arguing to the bottom. So that only when you see everything fully laid out, everything political, economic, social, and spiritual, everything laid out, individuals, families, church, state, all of it. Everything has to be laid out or nothing can be laid out. So if you pick on one small part and develop it and think, for example, chair 4, you're saved by faith alone. If you pick this, but you have no idea what went before it and what goes after it, you will never understand what chair 4 is. You have to know everything that it is and everything that it isn't. You have to know all the ways you can pervert it. Nimrod decided to skip 4, 5, 6, and therefore 7. So he can never get you there. You will never be destined for the throne. As far as being a royal bride someday when Jesus comes back, that'll never happen if you go Nimrod's way. But the key is 3, which I did last time. If you don't repent of 1 and 2, you will never get 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. So there's only 2 ways to go in this world. You either go the way of Nimrod, where kings rule over the churches, that is religion. That is, religion is just an adjunct, a part of the policy of political power. And so today, even here in our state, even here in the United States, even in the entire world, people are still going over the basics. And nobody today can define terms anymore. Nobody. They're not able to. Obama certainly cannot. Nor can anybody. They've lost their way because they start without God. But here, this gate of God isn't really God. It's with a small g. So the gate of God, Babel, and the Tower of Babel, which is confusion, is you cannot join things that God has forbidden to be joined or separated. That would be an unclean civilization. So there's only 2 foundations, either Mount Zion or Babylon. Those are the only 2 possibilities. Everything in the world is either built on Babylon or Mount Zion, period. So the Judeo-Christian heritage which we have is the only reason that America was able to have any kind of rights, liberties, or capacities. A duty creates a right. A right necessitates a liberty. And a liberty assumes a capacity for self-government under nature and nature's God. Now, once you have that phrase, you can solve all problems. If you do not know that, then today people don't know it. So if you don't know it, you're going to get all mixed up. You won't know what a welfare state is. You won't know why sustainable development is satanic. You won't know anything. You can't figure out anything because you're totally in confusion. Exactly. The author of confusion is Satan, and Nimrod followed. Now, Nimr, N-M-R, remember I told you Narmer is the first guy, is actually a leopard in the Hebrew language. So every royal figure in the whole world, not just in Africa, wears the leopard skin. It's a sign of royalty, and commoners were not allowed to wear it. So if you see out in the jungle, out in the bush, in Sahara Desert, anywhere, If you see people wearing the leopard skin, you know they're part of the royal family. If you go to China, the very first emperors, the very first little Nimrods, were actually wearing the leopard skin. India, wherever you go. South America. Now, this symbol of the leopard is very interesting. The last part of his name, M-R-D, remember? Get rid of the vowels. Means rebellious or wild. So the world today is either following Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, that is, Jesus the Israeli Messiah. You're either following that one, or you're following another rock, Nimrod's Tower of Babel. Now, God came down. Here's how it said. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. In the Hebrew, it's Echad. So say it, Echad. Echad. That's good. So now you speak Hebrew. Now, Echad means one language, one speech, one world government, one. Everything was one. But one, when you put people together, do you know what they do? If they're in chair one or two, they do evil. So the bigger your civilization, the bigger your country, the bigger your gathering, the more apt it is to be corrupted. Whereas the smaller unit, like your own local family, there's no corruption there.
Oh, amen.
Amen. But the bigger you see, it's no different than the smallest unit. The only thing is, the corruption is much more pervasive, and not necessarily more deadly to you personally, but certainly to others. So this gathering together of this wild, rebellious leopard. Now, Nimrod, and this is still in the world today. Nimrod had a leopard sitting by his side. He not only wore the leopard skin from the dead leopard that had died first, but he has a living leopard always. Mobutu had a lion, but it's the same idea. Lion, leopard, you know, cougar, something. Some kind of wild animal that kings used to represent their power. And Nimrod was called the mighty hunter before the Lord because he could hunt that beast and not only that, tame it. So they always have a tiger or a lion or some kind of animal right there. And I always look that up, by the way, when I go to one of these countries. I always look that up. Go out and see the little cage. You know, whatever, because the king has the power just by his presence to tame that wild beast that would devour the people. And if you kill the king, you release the beast to devour. So nobody dares touch the sacred persona of the king. But as long as the king is alive, that leopard just sits there and he purrs like a kitten. He's okay. But as soon as the king is killed by somebody, that leopard then will go wild and devour the palace and the country. So people are afraid of wild animals, and that's why Nimrod became the tamer, the one that could actually control or dominate. Now, your government today, in this country, in this state even, is toying with the idea of using power to eat up all your liberty. Now, I'll tell you ahead of time, ain't going to happen. I'll just tell you ahead of time, I'm a prophet. It's not going to happen. So, but it's going to be attempted, and it's being attempted to eat up all your tax by taxes and so on and so forth, to eat up all your liberty. Now, I had a duty to God, and therefore it created a right in me against the whole world, which then necessitated a liberty to do what I have a right to do, which is my duty, which then implied or assumed that I have a capacity for self-government under God, not under the state. That's called statism. Now, the state says, no, we claim all power and authority. That's Nimrod. Came from Nimrod. So today we are looking at a revivification of the unclean civilization. And that's why you see people talking about despotism and tyranny and the loss of liberty again. And it's true, it's really happening. And it's a big plan and a big plot, and it's a big conspiracy, Psalm 2. It's been going on for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. However, I guarantee you it's not going to happen. How can I guarantee that? Oh, that's easy. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There it is. If God says he's going to do something, nobody can stop him. You can't gainsay his words, which means refute him, nor can you destroy his beneficiary, which is us. So, I'm not just joking, saying this is kind of like interesting. I'm telling you, I know it. I know that I know that I know to the death. Hey, by the way, I'm willing to suffer for that. I'm willing not only to say it, but to live it in such a way that I will be hated, persecuted, and perhaps even destroyed. That doesn't scare me. It doesn't bother me. So, you don't know if I'll even be here next week. Amen? So you better appreciate me while I'm here. David, I want you to appreciate me while I'm here. Right. I might be gone. I might be gone. You'd have to take over. Could you do it?
No.
You could. You could. You heard me. You know all my messages. You could do it. Get up and talk about Nimrod. Now, this is no longer history. This is actually a definition of what's going on in the world today. Politically, economically, socially, and religiously. Get your religion wrong, you get everything wrong. Get your religion right, you get everything right. So there must be a true religion and a false religion. This is the false religion, hypocrite number 2. This is the true religion, 4, 5, and 6, which leads to 7. So the true religion starts with repentance, 3, then justification, sanctification, and glorification, 4, 5, and 6, which leads then to your eternal standing before God as the precious spotless bride to inherit. Did you know the meek will inherit the earth? And the meek means those under authority. Was Nimrod under authority, or was he a wild leopard? You see, he was a wild, untamed leopard. Thank God nobody here is like that.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise God. Nobody here just lets sin go wild. We tame it, right? That's one of the beauties of a hypocrite, is even though I have this leopard inside of me, I hold it back for your sake. Just let me rule. Just let me dominate and dictate. That's a problem with hypocrites. You don't see the humor of that. You see, if you'll just do what I say, everything will be fine. That's the way tyrants and despots work. I've told that to Peggy for years. Peggy, if you just do everything I say, everything will be fine. I mean, the only problems we're having is you talk. You want to say something. Just listen to me and do exactly as I say and everything will be great. How many know that is tyranny? So she always wants to, she just wants to say something. Dad, can I say something? Peg, do you need to say this? I think so. And she'll just get her little thing in there. Now, you might think she's weak. Don't underestimate Peggy. She will just keep coming even if I tell her no. Peg, I got it. Don't say any more. Help, God. The woman thou gavest me. Now, I like her to be like that. I love that. I actually love that. I like to say no to her just to get her going. Y'all see that? I mean, that's not right, but I do. I like her to assert herself. I like to force her to be a real person. Well, I have something to say too. Peg, I'm the head. You're submitted. Do y'all see that? Good theology. Do y'all see that? That's in the Bible. Unfortunately, I've taught her the real meaning of those words. The head is not Nimrod, a tyrant, a despot, a arbitrary ruler like the Supreme Court today. It makes arbitrary rules. There's no consent of the governed. Nobody's asking your opinion. Nobody cares about your opinion. Even if you had an opinion, who cares? You are being despotized today. Nobody's asking you, can we have some more money out of you? Nobody's asking. They just do it. Local people do it. State people do it. Federal people do it. Nobody cares what you think, because now the issue is egalitarianism. Look, it's not important that one person has good health care and another person doesn't. What's important is that we all have bad health care equally. I hope you see the humor of that, because it's not funny. They don't think that if everybody has an equal health care, it'll be good. They know it'll be bad, but at least we'll all be equal. Mao Zedong had that idea. If everybody had a little red book and everybody wore one green shirt with the collar up, then nobody would steal. Nobody'd be corrupt. Nobody would commit adultery, because everybody'd be equal. You see how stupid this world is. And Mao was shocked. Now, here's something about Mao you may not know. Mao had a library, which not everybody had. And he also had a Mercedes-Benz. a little perk there. But he not only had a red book and a little green shirt and that little cute hat he wore, but he also had a nice library and certain other perks. No. I think I've traveled the world, and I think it's interesting that often these communists are billionaires, like Putin, like Samora Michelle. They're billionaires. And they have more money than I get in a week, even if I took two offerings. And I've been thinking of that. Now, Nimrod is a dictator, and I think he's brilliant. I think this guy Nimrod is brilliant. The first civilization, the second civilization, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, all civilizations come out of Nimrod. A black man actually civilized this world. Now, you don't know that, and you don't believe that, but you're wrong. If you knew anything about the history of invention, if you knew anything about the history of economics or any other subject, you would realize this Nimrod was brilliant. He knew where all the copper mines were. He knew where all the gold mines were. He knew where all the turquoise mines were. He knew where everything was in the world. And he actually sent ships right after the flood, after the world was divided. He knew where everything was and how to get it. And so he set up a political, economic, social, and religious system with all the power concentrated in his hands. Now, our founding fathers, who were raised on Jesus and on Moses, they went another way. They said the power belongs to the people, not to the ruler, that the ruler is a servant. And they got that out of the Bible. And I've been teaching that to Peg. Peg, I'm not over you. The only thing to be the head of you means I get to serve you. And she has remembered that. She has remembered that and used that on me several times. Dad, what? Is this serving me? Is this blessing me? I don't see it. I don't feel it. And I don't want it. Now, you see how I ruined my... I had a great Nimrod thing going. But I've ruined that. And but you know what? It's better. It's better. Love is better. Love is way better. Now, how is it that I could give up my power, my despotism? How is it I could repent in chair 3? Easy. Easy. Simple. Because God takes care of me. Even though I sinned and I'm a hypocrite, chair 1 and 2, yet God forgives all that, kills Jesus instead of me, and then gives me 4, 5, 6, and 7 as a free gift. Wow. So faith is a different rock. It's a different way of founding your civilization. What if you built an entire country or a state like Texas on faith? No, not in the government. Not in the government, but in the people. What if you put this in the people? Because I told you that a natural duty, which is given you by God just by being born, I owe a duty to God to worship Him according to the dictates of my own conscience. I also owe a duty, another duty. I owe a duty to my fellow man to love him as myself. The golden rule. I have a duty. It's natural. Everybody knows about it. Everybody wants to be treated nicely. And they don't want to be robbed or killed or destroyed somehow. So life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, property, all that stuff is natural. I don't care what you've read, because I've read all of it. It doesn't matter what you've read. It's all nonsense and baloney, whether it's Hobbes' Leviathan or whether it's John Locke's treatises and so on. Unless it agrees with what I just said, it's a lie. So I have a natural duty from God, not only to God, not only to my fellow man, but also to Caesar. Did you know that? You have a political duty. So I have a religious duty, a moral duty, and a political duty. Now, what does that mean? That means God told me to let every soul be subject to the higher powers. God said that. God told me to love my neighbor as myself. God told me, render unto me all that I'm owed. Just worship me according to your own conscience. You know what you owe me. Just be perfect and don't sin. So those duties are too hard. That's why I'm in chair 1 and 2. I would just be down there because I just can't do all those things. How many know those are hard duties? So if you build civilization on duties like that, you could get in trouble. The problem with the Jewish religion is it believes that man isn't basically wicked, but that man is basically good, and that if he just behaves himself, he can improve himself. But Jesus disagrees. In fact, the whole Old Testament disagrees. In fact, read the Old Testament and you'll see that Israel was never doing right. They were always doing wrong. And God said, you know, you worship me with your lip, but your heart is far from me. You know, what I want is for you to do it from your heart. Well, man cannot do that. So that's too much. It's too hard. Be perfect. That's too much. So here, I repent of that because I wasn't perfect. And here I believe that Jesus was perfect, did it for me. There he's doing it in me. And now he's doing it through me so that I'm able to love. Because Jesus is the key to my life. So this is another way. Nimrod's way is this gates of hell thing where he has the form of religion, but he denies its power. He's a wild leopard. He sets up an idolatrous system. And that's what's happening in our world today. That's why Christianity's on the way out. I hope you understand that, even in America. Do you understand that? It's under attack. That's why people are fighting right and left. You have no idea what's going on. It has nothing to do with the economy and all that stuff. It has to do with religion. You get the religion right, you get everything right. You get it wrong. And most Republican, Christian, right people, they don't know zip. They don't know what they're talking about. They have no clue. They don't know the Bible. They don't know the Holy Spirit. And they don't even know history. So they're not going to get it right. So you have to go back to God's pattern. And Nimrod said, no, I'm not going to do God's pattern. I'm going to make a religion that fits real people. That's clever. Hey, why make an unreal religion where you have to depend on God when you can just make a religion where you don't have to depend on God? Clever. That man came up with a religion where man at his best, even if it's hypocritical, man at his best would be good enough. That is the foundation of civilization. In civilization, you don't get to just go and strike your neighbor down. You have to behave yourself. And they'll punish you if you don't. That's a law-based society. But we have a different religion. Our religion says that's not what God wanted. He wants there to be light and salt, and that's not it. So the church, the true church, is where we're really believing on Jesus, have no hope in ourselves, hoping while we're going through the fire and the suffering and the chastening and the teaching and the instruction, not afraid to suffer and die if need be, until we become lovers. And so God is teaching us how to love one another. Very powerful. This whole idea is not only interesting for us, because it's going to happen, by the way, and it's going to happen right here. When God told me at the end of last year and the beginning of this year, enlarge the place of your tents, when he said, stretch out the curtains of your habitation, when he said, lengthen your cords and spare not, and when he said, strengthen your stakes, then he said, for the barren will suddenly bear, and she that hath many children will not. So the barren one, that is the one that went through 5 and got decimated. When I believed in Jesus, I got persecuted. Isn't that exciting? How many love that? That's exciting. Remember it says, count it all joy when you face various trials and troubles and tribulations. Count it all joy. Remember that? Woohoo! I'm broke. Woohoo! The IRS is auditing me. Woohoo! I'm sick. I'm supposedly going to die. Yahoo! Hey, and the world's collapsing. Woohoo! How many are excited about this world? How many know that God has the whole world in his hands? Amen. There is no Nimrod. When Jesus made this promise, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. He meant it. So all idolatry, all immorality, and all injustice has nothing to do with us. If you do it, repent. Chair 3. Immediately repent. Not only once, but daily. God, forgive me. I just went Nimrod again. I'm back. I'm back. I'm back. I prophesy, not to you. I prophesy in your hearing. I prophesied in Uganda. A black man led this world away from God, and a black man will lead this world back to God. Now, you don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I know what I'm talking about. God is going to use leadership coming out of Africa to bless this world in a way that no white man, Mazunga, and no Semitic person, Jewish or Muslim, could ever lead this world back to where Jesus wanted it to go. Because the true rock upon which to build civilization is Jesus Christ. When you build on the rock of Mount Zion, not on the legal side, which the Jews practiced, not on Mystery Babylon, certainly. And by the way, the Jewish people could never overthrow Babylon. Did you know that they always ended up back in Babylon? And to this day, the Jewish people have been told by God, Micah 4:10, I wrote it up there. He said, in the last days, it's our days, in the last days, I will send my people back to Babylon. I will not rescue them. I will not keep them from the trouble and difficulty. I will not spare them until they learn to call upon me and repent and say, it isn't all the bad guys in the world, it's us. We turned away from God. We followed Baal. We followed the Baalim. We followed Nimrod. We followed the wrong way. We did wrong. And our religion, if it were true, it would have overthrown the pagans. But it was not. It has not. And it never will. Because it's built on the effort of man. It's built on the wisdom of man. It's built on the goodness of man. Man is not good. He is not smart. And he knows nothing. And he has no capacity. So, have you all come to that? Do you know you're not as smart as you think you are? Do you know you're not as strong as you think you are? Do you know you're not as good as you think you are? That's beautiful. That's powerful. And that gives you peace. Because Jesus is all your smarts. He's all your power. He's all your goodness. He's everything you need. He's all I need. Did you know that Jesus Christ loves you? And the best is yet to come. So what I prophesied right now was that not only are black leaders going to rise up out of Africa and lead this nation back to Jesus Christ, but Israel itself will be sent into Babylon, and I don't mean literally Iran and Iraq. That's what it's talking about, by the way. I'm talking about that they've got them today. They're in the grip today. All the surrounding nations around about them are the old Iranian and Iraqian princes of the world that comes out of Nimrod. They are now slaved again. Every street has to have somebody with a machine gun on it. Everything they do, they can't even sleep at night without a mask next to them and all this kind of preparations. They are completely surrounded by enemies. And our president, our current president, does not believe in protecting them. Our current president believes that the Muslims have got a raw deal and that ought to be equaled out. So he's not going to help them. So Europe won't help them. The Muslims aren't going to help them because they're the guys that don't like Israel. Even America in our government is not going to help. I could illustrate it. It's not important. But God, because he said, but when I send you back into that trap, I will rescue you and deliver you out of the furnace of affliction. Do you know that the sons of Levi are being purified today? So watch Israel, watch Africa, and watch Texas. Because something is happening today in the heavenlies that's going to change this world. Now, I'm telling you things that are so powerful, but they're all in the Bible. Everything's in the Bible. Everything is told in the Bible exactly how it's going to be. You cannot rebel against God and tame some wild nature that you have. Only Jesus Christ can die for you and set you free. Chair 4, 5, and 6. And Jesus, whoever he saves, 4, he wants to then sanctify, 5, so that he can then glorify, 6, so then we can achieve our inheritance with all the saints. So I hope you're excited. You better buy the tape and listen to it a few times because it's powerful what it's saying. The best has been saved to the last.